Hello, the transfer window's closing in 10 minutes as I record this, and we're back. It's the Celtic Underground podcast, back for season 13. We'll be doing the Celtic Underground Top 10 of last season, doing a bit out of order, but just decided to take a bit of break from all the nonsense that goes on online. Anyway, St Anthony have recorded a podcast with Average Joe Miller. They talk about an interview and also preview this Sunday's game against Rangers. As I'm recording this, there is a handful of minutes in the transfer window left, and well, we'll see what comes. I have my doubts that there'll be anything else other than Benkovic has just been announced. Anyway, this is me, Harry Brady, passing over to him, St Anthony with him, Average Joe Miller.
And tonight I'm delighted to be joined by Average Joe Miller from Not The View fame. Good to see that the Not The View fan is still going in its 31st year, and We'll talk a wee bit about the fanzine world with Joe in a wee minute. But first of all, just to say, Joe, in the normal fashion, what was your first Celtic game and who was your first Celtic hero?
First Celtic hero, probably Willie Wallace. I was just talking about him. I mind him signing with Hearts when I was a wee boy, signing with Celtic, and it was a big thing then. And I just loved him when he was playing. First game was Celtic versus Dundee 5-2. I give you the
amender.
I never had the programme. I don't even know if it was a programme, but Celtic were going out pools, join the pools, and my dad had that put that in his pocket, and my mum wrote, it was Joseph's
first game
5-2 Dundee. And it was 1968 69,
remember that period?
Aye, so I've still got that was something that I remember going through all my life and losing things, and there was always certain things I always knew where it was and would never move, and that was one thing. It was just because it was just something dead special, you know, to me, my mum, my dad, you know, my first game.
I know that in our house, my dad, a photo of the Lisbon Lions, it was a colour one, he got up the Daily Record, and my mum had a drawer that she kept the dish towels in, and right at the bottom of the drawer, beneath the dish towels, it was always just to keep it flat and to keep it clean.
So that was it. You know, that was Celtic for me, and I made my first Celtic strip and Christmas 1 year. And I never asked for shin guards at the time, but they were big heavy things, you know. Didn't really wrap around your leg well and all that. And I was just happy with my Celtic strip, and my dad's like, "I got you shin guards as well." And I was like, "I don't want shin guards." Because you'll need them. So went across the back of, this was in Drumchapel, went across the back of the field, everybody's out with their new strips on Christmas, and I'm only one running about in the hoops, and all the manky mob are out there, so the shin guards were well advised. They must have known.
Younger boys now wouldn't appreciate in the days how there wasn't any commercialism. So when you were getting a Celtic strip, you didn't really buy it off Celtic as such. It was just a green and white hoop jersey that you bought in a shop.
Aye.
You know what I mean? Because I remember the first strip I ever got was what I called it, a Leeds United one. But on the box it says England, Leeds United, Tottenham Hotspur, Real Madrid.
Aye.
Because every, you know, that was the teams that wore a white jersey.
It's a bit like it's a beautiful team.
It was,
you
aye.
Know, they had so many where you could say that's who they are. That's how Celtic were quite unique, as that's a beautiful team as well, I suppose. Because it was hoops and...
And you knew who it was instinctively.
Maybe I had Sporting Club as well, but it was always seen as Celtic.
And then in the mid-70s, the commercialism began to cut, and I remember getting the Scotland strip with the diamonds, and that was like out of this world at the time. Nobody had seen anything like it.
I mind getting one that had the V-neck and the collar as well. I mind Dixie Deans and Billy McNeil, kind of maybe the Airdrie final or the D&A.
The
floppy collar and all that. I mind getting
that. I had that,
well.
I know.
But after that, I never had many. I think I got the Centenary one. I bought that myself. I think I only wore it for the cup final. And that's something I draw protected by.
I'll get that in the office.
Probably
as well.
Protected by what you were saying earlier on about towels and all the rest of it, so it's all right, you know. Mm-hmm. So things like that, you know. But I've very rarely, although you've seen a bag there, I very rarely keep stuff now, but I've got loads of tickets and all things like that, books.
So moving on to Not the View then, you're well known in the fanzine world for being there virtually for the beginning. So how's things going with Not the View in its 31st year?
It's doing well. A lot of people are interested in it again, and I don't know, now they fall out of buying it and forget about it, and obviously the way internet and social media is, everything's click a button, it's there in a second. But there's been a pick up again, and it's good. A lot of people talking about it again and want to buy it, and subscriptions are good. Bit hard to get sellers out at Celtic Park to store and sell it, so put it into Carlton Books, and I like publicising Carlton Books and all that, and getting them a wee turn. You know, if somebody goes in there and wants to buy a Not the View, they'll probably end up spending about 20.
Of course, there's no old programme shops anywhere. The first time I got Not the View was, it was no old programme shop, it'd be back in 87.
Aye.
The one that used to be above the Athol Arms.
Aye. The old programme shops, there was loads of them, man.
I know, used to be a few.
In the town, in Ardha Hampden, there was one as well. And
if you go way back in the 70s, there was one in Paisley Road West facing.
That's right, aye.
Where old Harry Ramsden's used to be, it was an old tenement that got knocked down.
Aye. A lot of them kind of been at the old tenement, kind of up a stair, and it was a programme shop, you know. But back then, kind of Not the View and all that, we're still doing a printed copy, and everybody loves that, and everybody that subscribes gets a PDF version, which has got more content in it and all that. But as you can, if you've had a look at it lately, it's still no change much, you know, and we don't want it to change.
Well, that's the attraction, I think. It's people know what they're getting when they buy it.
When you say to some young guys it's a fanzine and all that, they don't quite get the meaning of that, but it's still, when you explain to them and talk to them a wee bit about it, and just kind of about the fanzine culture and talk about music and all that, they kind of get a wee bit of grasp it. But all codgers like us, you know, we love it.
And you were saying there that more than 90 minutes is coming back out in print.
Aye, they were talking about ceasing printing and all that, and obviously we kind of railed them a bit, saying not if the Rebels have won and all that, you know, saying off another opposition, so all friendly fans even were. And he told me that he was printing it back out again, so that's good news. I like the printed copy still. I think it's still good to pass it around.
It may be age, but it's good to get something you can hold, you know what I mean, and something like a hard copy that rather than you know, everything in your phone and everything on the computer.
Aye, and you kind of do, even when you read, even if you read stuff online, you skip a lot of it. If you've got your printed copy there, like I just said to you there, I got the Shamrock through latest one. No, had a chance to look at it. I came in the post all day, and I'll read that, and then I'll skip over it again and go back to it and all that. And I don't think you do that way online stuff and all that. It's kind of you kind of skip it a lot.
So let's move on to the current affairs then. The way things are at the moment. Now the summer transfer activity, apart from bringing Edward in, who was already there, has been nothing. So, I mean, what's your opinion on it? Do you think there'll be anybody to come in the next few days before, as the transfer window comes to an end?
Certainly hope so, you know. It's been very disappointing for us, because you kind of think, as you say, there we've done the business there, we've added in Tom Rogic as well. You think, probably step up a couple of players in, you know, we've got a good
backbone.
A wee kick up, a wee injection into the pool, and it didn't seem to happen. It just went all stale.
I think the most disappointing thing is that the fans did there, but you know, they sold out the season tickets. They've been buying the European tickets in great numbers, so that they've done their part, and it's really disappointing that the people behind the scenes haven't rewarded them, if you like, by bringing in a couple of good players.
Aye, it has been poor, and I blame the board, and I blame Brendan as well, because if Brendan isn't getting what he's asking for, I don't want to hear it when he's away. He's left Celtic and he'll come back. I will see that season such. I was wanting this, wanting that. He's in a position where he should say it now, and that's it. And I know there's been a lot of stuff kind of to and fro for people, and supposedly people in the know and all that telling us stuff, where things are true or no, but at the end of the day, they should just be big enough. We pay our money to go to the game. If he turns around and says, as a manager, I wanted certain players, the board never backed me, I'd be fine with that. I would rather be man enough to stand up and know. We've had too many managers that's told us later on and they weren't backed. Mm-hmm. You know, don't tell us that when you're away. Tell us it when it's actually happening.
Mm-hmm. You know, do you not think he has been indirectly?
He's been indirectly, but he's just made it more. He's made it more a soap opera for the media.
No, he's made it worse.
Mm-hmm. Instead of this, you can be clear cut with it, mm-hmm. and just say, I wanted a certain player, mm-hmm. I never got him.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, you know. It's the McGinn thing dragging on, and all the stories that were running about that. He wasn't coming definite, or Celtic weren't wanting, or Celtic didn't pay, and mm-hmm. all this.
I think the worst thing about McGinn was the fact that when Villa came in, Celtic eventually coughed up and paid what Hibs wanted, and then went to get him, and it was too late. Aye. Right now, I wonder now if this is the beginning and the end of Lovell's tenure, because he has been there now for 15 years. He's probably, you know, he's probably outstayed his welcome a wee bit, in as much as I think some of the things that strokes that he pulls behind the scenes, I think people are getting wise to it now. I think Hibs would probably have known how he was going to be. So rather than paying Hibs what they wanted, getting him again in, getting him settled, getting him in for the Champions League, we try to save a couple of $100,000. And then the next thing he's doing in Birmingham, talking to Aston Villa, who are paying more than we're paying, but he would have came to us anyway if he'd have just paid the fee.
It's the Celtic way though, isn't it? It's not even just under law, it seems to be the Celtic way. We've had it since I was a boy, you know, how we're not strengthening the team. You know, we never strengthen the team, you know. And
you get back to the centenary season, you get back to the even when we stopped 10 in a row.
Aye.
And that was two great opportunities to push on.
Aye.
And
we never done it. Even Martin O'Neill's team, you know, Seville, you look at that, you actually look at the team, and we're only a couple of players away from
really making an impact.
No, we did in Europe that year because alright, we went out of Champions League to Bale, but that set up the whole road to get to Seville, and it's still one of the biggest disappointments supporting Celtic was that year, because we won nothing, but what a team we had, and that was just a couple of wee tweaks here and there, and that's Martin O'Neill on the board again. That was a manager on the board, maybe him not fighting enough for it, or telling us, or the board saying no, we're not spending, and it was just some rank players in there. You know, it was big Rab Douglas, what a big honest big professional, would do anything for you. Yeah, but he wasn't a world class keeper, we needed something.
But the funny thing is, O'Neill went out and got Hedman, who we discovered, Hedman had a great reputation, Swedish international, played in the Premiership, and then he came up here and we discovered he wasn't much better than we already had.
Exactly, I know, and that's always risks as well, when you buy players, you don't know how they're going to turn out, and we've certainly got plenty of the new, which we've had all the time. Every pool of players we've had every season, you think, hell, is that guy still there? What's he doing?
I think that the worrying thing came at Tynecastle, where he made a number of changes, and the guys who I would call squad players, that was their opportunity to make an impression.
Aye.
And not one of them took it, and in fact, that if anything, it showed that they are not of the required standard.
Aye. One of the things as well about this season is, well, it's just started, I know it is, but you need I like to kind of turn around and go, I can name 8 or 9 players for that select team, and who, you know, are regularly going
guaranteed
to play.
Starts.
Aye. You need that, and most teams have got that. We chop and change all the time. You just don't know where we're going to be. You don't. And look at that defence. You know, it's anybody that walks into that defence, I'd be like, nail up, mate. Because there's no continuity there. If you're playing, anybody that's played football, if you're partnership with a big centre defender, and you need to play with them regular every week. You can't play, or you play that side, or you're full back this week. You're back in with me again. Oh no, somebody else is with you this week. There's no continuity in that at all, and that's been a major problem with us, because you can have all your flair players and the Celtic way, they scored one, we'll score two, it's always a great dream and all that, and you love that as a Celtic fan, it's kind of something you believe in, but it doesn't happen, you know. You need to have solid foundations there, and I feel sorry for a lot of the defenders. I really do, you know, Jack Henry and all that getting
I was
slaughtered.
About to mention him. Jack Henry should be playing against Livingston, playing against Partick Thistle, and building himself up to plunge him into the European qualifiers, but I thought it was cruel.
Aye. Well, see, again, he played against Thistle, and it was good to get the first Glasgow Derby win. The oldest one, aye. And I was at a game, and I was coming back, and a couple of pals were laughing me, and she watched it on the telly, and said, I was saying, but see when he turned and all that. I says, you're only following a ball on the telly. I says, do you know why he had to turn?
There was nothing.
Everybody was hiding.
That's right, aye.
Everybody
not,
was
not
hiding.
Not one bit of movement.
Aye. Nobody, and it was happening all during the game. It was poor as I went. So, aye, the guy turned and fell and made himself a little bit daft. I says, but the overall picture was...
Nobody showed for him.
Nobody showed for him. People hiding and all that, and that's not a good thing when you go to squad a team and that's what they're starting the day, you know. Well, they did it that day a few times, and they've done it a few other games, I felt.
I think what we're doing at the moment is we're overdoing the possession. We're sort of keeping possession for the sake of it. Now, there comes a point when you get into midfield and you get into the opposition half, sometimes you've got to take a wee risk, even if it means losing the ball.
Aye.
You know, but to try and create something. And I'm looking at the players and I actually think that their confidence is sort of new. So rather than try something and lose it, they're turning it and playing it back. I mean, there was one game recently, I can't remember specifically what game it was. We had a corner kick, and within about 10 seconds, the ball was back with Craig Gordon.
Aye.
And you're thinking, how can you get an attacking move like a corner kick and end up with a ball back in the goalkeeper?
Well, see, to be honest, the corner kicks and all that are a waste of time for us, to be honest. When did we score for them? I know... Obviously, at the weekend, it came back after and fell to Beata.
That was through fortune rather than anything.
But that wasn't a set move.
No.
You know, and I just don't get excited when we get stuff like that. Apologies if you hear clicking in the background. He's going to be working for him while he's interviewing me here. I'm doing a client photo of Jock Steen with Dave McFarlane in the Scottish Cup.
Anybody who's Twitter will be able to see it later on the night.
So if I get it finished.
I'll definitely be on. So, moving on a wee bit to Europe then, what was your opinion in the AEK Athens ties?
Home game, you know, you're just thinking, how the hell will we lose that goal? You know, it's a killer one, but I still thought we were in the game. And then when you look at the stats and you go back and think of the game and think how many chances they had, bang, goal, many chances we had.
Missed them.
Missed loads. Mm. You know, you put them in. Totally different altogether.
You can only claim bad luck so often.
You can. Everybody says if you get one chance, if you get one chance in European games, you take it. If you get two chances, you take it. You don't have six and seven in a game and walk out going one goal. You need to take them.
The galling thing for me was that the fact that what do you respect to EEK? I mean, I'm not taking anything away for their victory, but. Sometimes you get beat in Europe and you think they're a class above us, you know, there's no point in arguing about it, but I just got the feeling that they were our level and they were beatable.
They were very well organised, I'll give them that. I thought they were very good defensively, the way they shut us down and all that. But see, to be honest, Hamilton can come and play defensively against us and be very organised, and if you keep Celtic to the way you push them up and the defenders have got the ball and wasted the ball. I'd love to see, I really should do it, is work out how much percentage of our centre backs and defenders get out of 90 minutes of the game, because it must be a hell of a lot, and that's not right. No. They're not the tick.
You want the midfielders getting the ball.
They're not the engine room. They're not the guys, the creative players and all of that. You know, they should be starting and just hoofing the ball where they're facing, basically. The old kind of
defender is there to keep the ball
out.
He's not there to create, really.
I said one the other day about Stuart Armstrong. I didn't realise he played 40 games last season, but I thought we missed his drive. We did miss his drive. He goes and takes the ball
and he's direct,
and he goes direct and runs direct like people, and he gets other players involved with the way he moves and goes with the ball. And a guy says, oh, he played 40 games last season, he wasn't that good. And I went, well, I didn't realise it was that many, but I think a lot of it was coming back for injury.
He did
have a drop of form, but that
his style of play is something we're missing, because McGregor's a good passer, Rogic is a good passer, Cham's a good passer, but they're all very similar and they all want to put their foot in the ball. Neither of them particularly want to run with it and go directly. And another thing I have to say as well is neither of them particularly get pace.
Aye.
So the midfield is very one-paced at the minute, because we lack somebody with that burst.
and everybody knows it. Football, if as soon as you beat an opponent, that's the whole shape of the other team. The whole shape of our team has to move then. And we've got lack of people penetrating the opposition. You know, we're, the possession stuff's good. I understand having possession, but at some point you need to use it. Yeah, sometimes when you're taking a risk, you need to play the ball by them and move it fast and use pace, which we don't use. We're very slow, very laboured. But you also need players to take a wee risk and push on, beat a man, and then next thing you're running at somebody else who has to leave somebody else. And then the whole game opens up. And we played that way quite often under Brendan, and we're just not kicked in yet at all. But there's various reasons for that. And I think obviously one being is a lot of people are just letting, a lot of players I think are just letting the defenders take a lot of brunt of the, the pressure and a lot of the criticism that's coming our way.
So what about Sadova, the first leg then? What was your take on that then?
The
first leg, Sadova.
Started off and I was like, ah, brilliant. You know, thought, here we go, turn a wee corner. And then, again, you've seen that ball coming in and you just think, fuck me, they've got to score.
As soon as
the ball's in the air, do you think?
It was a great delivery, I'm going to say. The boy took a great free kick, but even allowing for that, I think we held it the line too far. We should have taken a step back.
Craig Gordon should have got it as well.
I thought
he should have been right half.
It was in there a long time, wasn't it?
See, when you see a goalkeeper diving behind and he's behind the guy who scores the goal, I just think you've read that completely wrong, mate. You know? And again, you're allowed an error, you know, every now and then. But we seem to torture our players for every wee error, and I think it's something that's going on with Celtic and the support as well just now, and something's no nice, you know. I've heard it at Celtic Park, and there's some guys that are more vocal and you hear them more abusing the team than actually supporting them. And I've pointed out to folk, I'm like, check that clown, he's not even celebrating the goal there, but he's been shouting abuse at the team all day. And fine, if that's what gets you.
We'll move on to that a wee bit. Sadova, are you confident of doing it at Park Eden?
We should do it. I think we'll score a few, to be honest. And here's a prediction. I think we'll keep a clean sheet. I think we'll do it quite comfortably.
Well, here's hoping. I mean, we did beat the mate 15 years ago.
I know
it's 15 years ago, but the
I was there, home and away.
That's right. Great. The away one as well.
Aye.
David Fernandez is only goal.
Aye, it was a bit of a journey, but it was a good journey, you know. They were the days.
So that brings us on to let's talk about Dedryck Boyata then. He's had a good World Cup. He's been impressive with Belgium, and my take on it is that his agent has said to him, "Big man, your stock will never be higher than this. You need to move now to cash in and get in the move of your career to get you onto the big wages that the in a big league." If you like. So what was your take on Boyata then? Because according to Brendan, and there's no reason to doubt it, he was fit for one of the Athens games but refused to play.
Aye. Well, that's shocking for a footballer. Absolutely shocking. You refused to basically go into your job and say, no, I'm not doing my job. Modern footballers are a weird thing. A weird creature. Believe everything good about themselves. They don't believe anything negative about themselves. And agents, I can understand how a lot of players need them, and I think a lot of young players is definitely helping out with contracts and stuff like that. But if you've got a settled player and you're an agent, you're not making money. Say that to you, you're not making money as an agent. You need to be getting your player basically moving all the time. You know, that's how you get your cut.
Every 2 years, 3 years.
You're getting your cut within that. If he turns around and says, I'm signing 5 years here, you get your wee cut off the new contract.
5 years is a long time away, isn't it?
And then you're nothing. So these guys, you know, these guys are in the business for football. They're in the business for money and moving their products along, as I'll say. That's what they'll probably view them as, you know, their pool of football players as their product. And I think Boyata has been advised really badly, or he's believed this guy really bad. See, at the end of the day, I can see both kind of views on it with the Celtic fans, you know. It's like guys booing him, they've got the right to bloody boo him. He never showed for us. I see other guys saying, well, he's on the park now, Brendan's picked him, he's a manager, we need to cheer him on. I get that as well. When he scored, the Craig Gordon ran the length of the park. I thought
if Craig Gordon had come out quicker in Lithuania, then as quick as that,
I thought he was playing for Hearts. He was going up for another corner. But you saw that with the players, and you kind of go, that's good unity with the squad there. You know, so maybe there is something else with the boy.
I have to say that for his first couple of touches, I did boo him. No, because I'm not proud of being a Celtic player, but it was the only way that I had to make my feelings known to him. Unless Brendan Rodgers is a liar, I don't believe that for a minute. If he'd have played the two legs against Athens, I'm convinced we'd have won, because the goals all came for the centre of defence. I know Lustig didn't stop the crosses coming in, but a good centre back would have cut them out, especially the one at Parkhead. The one at Parkhead was a total howler. It was just cringeworthy how poor a goal that was that we lost. So a good quality centre back, but would have just cleared his lines.
I think his head's been turned after the World Cup, and he's lost his way. You know, if he's turned around to the players, the rest of the guys he has to stand beside me and share a dressing room with, and they're happy with that, and Brendan's happy with that, well, we just need to go with it, because if Brendan says that's the way it is and he's going to pick him, he's going to play.
Do you think it was a case, and I honestly believe this, we didn't have anybody else?
Aye.
I mean, there was literally every defender was injured, so Brendan's only choice at that point would have been either to put Tierney to centre half, which I don't think is a great idea, or bring a boy out of the youth team, which he's not really prone to then, really. Aye.
What's happened nearby, Beaton?
Do you know, I haven't heard
in the area. I just remember when we moved him back in centre half.
Well, you would think that he'd have come back fit. And I think that's a disappointment as well. How many players have been injured this season already?
And they just don't come back.
I mean, the boy Morgan we got for St Mirren, he's not appeared yet. He's been injured. Beaton's been injured. You know, there's other ones. I mean, Edward's injured again. Dembele got injured. You never seem to get anybody getting a run of games without getting a niggly injury.
I know, there's something seems to be off there as well. I don't know where it is.
Simunovic, another one injured. Aye. Jack Henry's injured.
Simunovic, a strange big boy as well, I find.
On his game, he's terrific, but it's just every now and again, he just...
See, it hearts away. When you're behind that goal and you see it tight or not, and you're watching him, I'm just thinking, God, you're a big boy, but you certainly get pushed about. You certainly get pushed about and you don't like it.
The one against Livingston in the home game where he fired the boy on the bar and said he's in penalty area. Do you know what I mean? It was like a shot and goal, and you're thinking, what is going through his head that you would do that?
You see, the thing going back to Boyata is there is a split in the fan base about it, but fans have got the right to say what they want. And another thing that I'd like to say about it all is the Green Brigade did put a banner up, but wasn't the Green Brigade that audio on that game that fought that? You know, not everybody that booed them were sitting in that section or were in the Green Brigade.
No.
And vice versa, there's ones in the Green Brigade that were like that as well. Don't know if we should be doing this. I spoke to a couple of boys. So, but it's always good to label somebody.
My take on it is, you know, there isn't any right or wrong in this. If you booed them, you booed them. If you cheered them, you cheered them. Because everybody's got their own slant in what he's done.
Aye.
So, but the irony was, of course, that he came up with a winning goal.
Aye. Well, you could. That's just a typical football thing, isn't it? You know, if anything was going to date and was going to happen, it was going to be him. And it's like, I think even like the Motherwell game, that boy Hartley.
Henry Hartley.
I think he was in the news all week about seeing some stupid comment, and he came up and scored.
He gets the last second equaliser.
So these things are kind of written into football.
That was
as well.
A disappointing thing for me on Sunday, because see when Motherwell get that equaliser, that was a lift for Celtic to go out in the park against Hamilton and thrash Hamilton out of sight and say to Rangers, we're giving you a message for next week.
Oh, I thought you were going to say let Motherwell know that's them, we're putting them in a place since they're two cup appearances last season.
It was an opportunity to lay a marker down and go, like, here, this is us. And take confidence for Rangers dropping 2 points. because you know you didn't want to get into that Rangers game in Sunday behind them. You wanted to get in front of them.
That was a bonus. Exactly, aye. And I know Hearts are tapping out and all that, and good start, great start to the season. But you always get starts like the season. I mean, one year it was Dundee, for Christ's sake. Mm-hmm. Won about four games in a trot or something.
Well, what was the year Hearts on that? George Burley, they went 10 games unbeaten.
Aye.
And I did look at one, even I remember thinking, maybe there's something in this.
Aye.
But of course, you know, it all fell away.
Drop a form, players getting injured, and or let big laugh at you getting moved on to. Mm. God, it'll be interesting to see if he starts against us again. Obviously, again, we need to stand up to big bully centre-halves that are going to try and
run. Actually, I think we're a team full of soft centres now.
Definitely.
I mean, the only ones that I've got any faith in terms of fighting spirit and physicality, Scott Brown, Tierney and the big boy Ayer.
Aye.
And see the other eight of them, and that includes the goalkeeper, they get bullied too easy for me.
Yeah, very much so. And that a lot of people say, oh, why do you need like James Forrest or somebody like that stand up? Well, you need that throughout your team. You need your whole team, no matter what position you're playing. It's not... I'm not picking the James Forrest, just using him as an example of...
He's a wee guy.
If he's a wee guy, he's a winger. If a guy goes through him, he should be immediately going in his face.
Mm-hmm.
Players all around, standing up as well. Mm-hmm. And then, again, asking for the ball straight after it and running it.
Mm-hmm.
And going, come on then.
Then a Jimmy Johnson.
A Jimmy Johnson or David Proven and all the rest of it. You know, socks rolled down. Do groovy. Chop David Proven, for example. Do you think David Proven went the other way? No, I would go out and try and do it again, because that's a mentality of you're not bullying us. You know, and that is again another great mark of a squad and players that want to do stuff for each other. And that is something that's missing a bit as well.
I definitely think we like a physical presence.
Aye.
And we have done for a number of years.
Wee Griffiths up front, when he's on the park, he'll stand up.
He's wiry, you know. He'll want it.
And so there's another one. But as you say, you need somebody to stand up for your fellow player.
Now this is the first real hurdle that Brendan's faced, because in his 2 years he had two trebles, which is unsurpassed, but probably just as impressive is the fact that he had two Champions League group appearances. He got us through he negotiated his way through the qualifying rounds. Now that hasn't happened this time, so we're hitting a wee hiccup for the first time. So how do you think we're going to cope with that?
I feel as well as like Champions League, you want to be there, but there's a part of you as well you don't want to be involved in it, because it's so corrupt. You're playing so many games before a ball's even been kicked everywhere else. You're getting teams, the cartel clubs, European countries in Europe are getting their teams walked straight in, second and third and all that.
Fourth
maybe play a game and all that. And you've got all that nonsense and you just go, what the hell am I watching here? You know, this is just corrupt for franchise and all that.
See, from your point of view for the qualifiers, I think that at the end of August, the players are tired. I mean, we'll have played eight qualifiers in total, no matter what competition we end up in, right?
Aye.
Whether we beat Sudova or not, that's our eighth game. Now, come the end of August, when that's finished, the players are knackered, right? Because that's a big chunk of their season.
Aye.
But more than that as well, the fans are drained. I mean, I felt in Athens physically drained, emotionally drained at the end of it, because a lot hangs on that, you know what I mean? And I know we're playing Sudovic into the Europa League, and I'm not taking anything for granted, but I do expect us to win, so they might not be that same feeling of dread or that feeling in your stomach that you get. And another thing that's worth pointing out is, financially it's a killer.
Aye.
Because you've already paid your season ticket, and you know, I'm paying for me and the boy, and that's, I know we get the first one free, which is fair enough, but that's three qualifiers in the space of about 4 weeks.
Aye.
It's a big chunk of a family budget. It's a big emotionally, it's a draining experience. So that month of August is such a crucial month.
Aye.
For us.
Well, you're barely just shut off at all. You know, the end of the season, and you're thinking right away, we've got these qualifiers, you know, we're playing qualifiers.
Now, I think it was the 10th of July. It was the first one. The World Cup was still on.
World Cup still on. We've got players at it.
I know.
And
I
you're
know.
Just thinking, what the hell's going on here? It's when you get through and you get by that, you don't think of the qualifying games when mm-hmm. you're actually there on the Wednesday night and the Champions
right.
League music's playing. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where you want to be and mm-hmm. you're there. But at the time, you're saying, you're emotionally going, what's going on? I'm done mm-hmm. here, man. You know, this game's.
I mean, do
the league's not even started, and our league's not even started, and we're playing qualifying games.
I know. I remember 2 years ago when we went to Israel to play Beersheba and we hung on for the last 20 minutes. Oh, that's got to be one of the most draining experiences I've ever endured.
There's a photo. Scott Brown grabbed one of the boys' cameras and took a selfie.
Uh-huh.
And you see all us in the background, the guys are all cheering that. And I'm just stunning there.
Mm-hmm.
And people are all at me when they see the photo. What are you not happy for? No, I says, I was done, man. I was emotionally done. Because they were battering us at one point. And Craig Gordon makes an early penalty save and all that. Because when the penalty's going, he's not saving us. You know, I says, I'm done, you know. Saved us, gets us moving a wee bit, but and then we shore it up. But I was drained, absolutely physically drained. And that game, that was a hard
so,
sketch.
Well, that's what comes every August at this time. You know, win, lose, or draw. I think the fans are knackered at the end of August. And I think when you get into September, there's a bit of a sort of... It's a bit of a lull, isn't there? You know, you're thinking...
There was even, like, the League Cup, or the Betfred, whatever you might call it now, League Cup, and you're playing Thistle, and you're going... I haven't even played league games yet. We're now playing a league cup tie. You know, we're not getting anything going that you can turn. Again, go back to getting a solid team and a regular team that you think there's eight players I want to play. You're having to chop and change because of different situations right away.
Definitely.
It's a hard sketch for Celtic to do it because, one, you've got the demanding fans, which we all want. We're demanding. We do that. It's just natural. As supporters, we'd demand more and we'd demand the victories and don't think we're entitled to them, but we do want them. Whereas a lot of other teams are only coming into that situation before a ball's even been kicked. And we certainly are like that, because the pressure is to get into that Champions League. Massive pressure. We didn't prepare for it well, A, with the board, maybe B, Brendan and the signings.
Normally when we don't get into the Champions League, it's a real disappointment and there's a hangover and it takes ages to go away. But I actually think this year, judging by the people that I'm talking to, there was an expectation we're not going to get through this because we haven't invested, especially in defence. I mean, 2 years ago, he went into some of the Champions League qualifiers with a big boy O'Connell at centre-half. And I think there was another one as well. I think it was Toure at that point. They were untried together as a partnership. And then last season, we ended up playing Beaton and Ayer at centre-half. And we got through that. So this season, we should have been getting into that with two quality centre-backs ready for what's happening. And that's our third year, and we were unprepared. Now, we were lucky the first two times. But the luck ran out in Athens.
Wasn't rocket science.
No.
You know, Brendan must have known that. And that's what I go back to. If he wasn't getting what he was wanting, he should have just said that. Put it in the Celtic View. It doesn't need to go to the press there. Put it in the Celtic View. If Celtic View don't print it and we don't get it for there or on Celtic TV or whatever, well, I don't really want to hear it for the press, to be honest, but I'd rather get it that way. If they don't put it out, then go to the press and have and his weekly press conference and tell us. You know, he wasn't prepared. And the reason behind that is it him, partly him getting the scouting guys that he's got in place, no getting the right guys in, or recommending guys that are no available to us, or no getting it, or plus the board as well, no doing it.
Look, you've got 4 days left, 3-4 days left in the window to get players in. If we sign, say we sign 2 or 3 players in the last day of the window, I think that's insult.
Aye. I don't, see the last couple of days, the window, I don't like it. It's like saying, who's left?
That's what you left it at
Ross Name Dale's once. And this manufactured transfer deadline, tick tock and doing and all that, give me a break, man. You know, it's they're trying to generate something that's not really there, excitement in a transfer deadline. No, you should have your targets. It's basically, I think, with the way Celtic work is, you have the position you're wanting and you have three or four names for that position. Mm-hmm. If you don't get that one, you go for that one.
A, B, C, D. Aye.
If you don't get any of them, well, you turn and say, they never got me then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's...
And the questions need to be asked, why?
Yeah. Aye, why? Why didn't you get
me? Are we not paying the fee? Are we not paying the wages? Did the players not want to come to Scotland?
Did the three A, Bs and C all say no to us?
Mm-hmm.
Fine,
mm-hmm.
You can accept that.
That's right.
But what you can't accept is, we went for them, but fuck, we didn't put the right money in at the start. No, you don't do that.
Getting back to the John McGinn thing, I just thought that was embarrassing because... There was a fortnight Celtic were after they got the boy and he kept, I was signing in Monday, I was signing on Wednesday, I was signing at the weekend, nothing was happening. And then I think what Celtic trying to do is they're trying to play poker, and then they come up with a hand that wasn't good enough in the end.
Aye.
Right, and they just look foolish at the end, you know what I mean? Because there isn't any point running to John McGinn when he's doing in Birmingham for a medical going, we've agreed a fee, mate, we want you to come back up the road.
Aye.
Because he's thinking to himself, if you really wanted me that much, you know what I mean? You wouldn't be flapping about the last minute.
And again, I was kind of saying, aye, about Stuart Armstrong, we need that kind of player to go and run it, players and that. But it wasn't a priority.
No.
The priority has been defence for the word go. You know, so. And I was a wee bit miffed at all this publicity about McGinn and all the rest of it because I was too busy thinking, right, we get McGinn. We've still got a horrible back four. It's no there. It's, you know, it's not working. And even the ones that are there, they need to sit that out. And we said about Henry, he should be coming in for certain games.
Mm-hmm.
But we need a four-man quality settled defence.
Mm-hmm.
That is badly needed. And if you had that, where we go, McGinn or anybody else in midfield, I don't think it would affect it as much because if you had that then solid base, other players then move differently.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the new, we don't. We're playing a totally different game
because of
fragile.
What's your take in the Gamboa thing? He was man of the match, arguably man of the match in Rosenborg away.
Aye.
He had a terrific game at Firhill.
Aye.
And then he gets dropped again. So you say there, like, where's the continuity? Aye. Where's the settled?
Why was he dropped then? Why is he not playing that guy?
Uh-huh.
You know, there, as he comes in, the two white men at Firhill.
Terrific games.
Tremendous games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They were the ones that were pushing Thistle back all the time and going forward. And you're just thinking, again, there's a start. There's a guy that's played really well. There's no reason to drop him. Mm-hmm. Dropped. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I've no heard anything off of Brendan or anything of the reason behind that.
No.
Does he need to give a reason? I think he should. You know, I think you should always give a reason why he's picking a specific team or changing it. Because that, to me, that sort of sums up where we're going wrong. It's not having a settled back four.
So, moving on to the weekend then, you know, the Rangers game's coming up and it's always going to be a...
I like the way you called them, the Rangers.
It's always going to be a big event, you know, but we're... In the build-up, bearing in mind we've got a game on Thursday to go over first.
Aye.
It is a build-up to the game, so have Rangers improved in your eyes at anything you've seen?
To be honest, I've not seen much of them. I've read a few wee reports. I've went on a few guys that went to their games, and they've said certain games, we're lucky there, you know, don't believe what you've read or seen. They had a lot of chances and says they've created chances. But again, what they've done and what I've kind of read between the lines is they've got a solid kind of nucleus of their team. That's who we're going to play every week as a starting 11. They're kind of go at that. Doesn't seem to be a lot of mucking about with who's playing where or whatever. That's it. It's just bump, bump, bump. And that'll work for a while. It's good to have it, but where they've got the squad, and again, players get injured and half form, I just can't see them.
I think Munner will prove that if you go at them, or if you get the middle of their defence, that they're vulnerable. Because we were led to believe for a few weeks there that somehow the Beckenbauer and Barresi at the back, you know, these two, Katic and Goldson. Are the bee's knees, whereas Motherwell shot that down in flames in one game.
It's another, the media need a strong team at Ibrox because that's what they feel Scottish football is and needs. They need they don't care about other teams. If Aberdeen are second to us, as we've seen, mm-hmm. they don't care that Motherwell went to two cup finals in one season. Mm-hmm. Now that's what Rangers need to get and beat to see if they're improved on mm-hmm. anything, is to get to two cup finals or to overthrow Aberdeen mm-hmm. into second. That's progress for them. Well, they can touch us, I don't think so, or a season.
My hope is that even though we haven't hit the ground running this season yet, but in fairness to Brendan, see when it's came to the bigger games, domestically, whether it's cup finals, semi-finals, Rangers games or whatever, we've very rarely been, in the last 2 years, we've very rarely been left wanting.
Aye.
And you do get guys like Dembele, for example, who sort of went through the motions for me in Sunday when he's playing against Hamilton, because he's maybe not motivated for that. But I think Dembele this week, Thursday in a European tie in front of a full house, and then you've got Rangers in a full house on Sunday, that's the kind of games that Dembele thrives on. And you've got guys like Tam Rogic as well who come into that, James Forrest,
aye.
who seem to be able to, when it comes to the bigger games, raise their game accordingly.
Aye, definitely so. We do tend to do that as pull it out. It'll be interesting as well off the park, because they've certainly got their myth again. There's a lot of lads talk to me and talk about Rangers games all the time, and they're mob, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, fucking hell, you're a bit loud again.
You know? The last 5 or 6 years it's been golf and tennis.
Aye, and I'm rugby. Oh, right. Oh, you're back into football, aye. And
Or in my place, it's ice hockey.
Oh, it's ice hockey, is it?
The Brayhead clan.
Aye, so like the clan. And so it's that, it'd be good to knock them back down and show them where they belong mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. kind of keep that going and all that. But to be fair, Stevie G seems to have done all right.
Mm-hmm.
He's, where they're getting the money for today at all mm-hmm. is another questionable thing. But he seems to have come in, done all right, and stabilised mm-hmm. something that wasn't kind of gone right last season. So, mm-hmm. To be honest, I've not seen a lot of them.
The other thing as well is I don't think they've played a quality team yet. I mean, even in Europe, the teams have been playing have been fairly mediocre.
Aye, well.
They haven't come up against what I would call a decent team.
Aye. But you can say that you can put who we've played and who they've played mm-hmm. and how it's went and all the rest of it, and you could even do it in the domestic the league as well, away to Aberdeen and all that, we're away to Hearts, so mm-hmm. these all balance out and all that. And to be honest, we sure went through, as we've talked about, the teams we've played against, the teams they've played against haven't been great shakes either. You know, it's
literally teams you've never heard of.
Aye.
Apart from Maribor.
Maribor, aye. Mm-hmm. Which, again, a boy I know said to us, a boy I worked with, he says that they had a lot of chances.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't as clean cut as maybe you read it. He says, aye. I was a bit worried they were going to score a few.
That was a sweat.
Aye. So, mm-hmm. It'll be interesting, because it's the media love it. It's Stevie G up against Brendan Rodgers. Mm-hmm, it's, mm-hmm. And forgive me for calling him Stevie G. I've not got that hatred for him yet. I've just called him Stevie G.
That'll grow.
Aye, I know.
As the season goes on.
It doesn't kind of bother me the new, but it's the media love it. It's what they want. It's what they were green for when Rangers died. Was mm-hmm. the old mm-hmm. film. And mm-hmm. what we going to do? Scottish football's going to fall on its arse and Armageddon and.
What will be interesting is if we were to beat them convincingly, see even if we were to win 2-0, but a good 2-0, right, mm-hmm. a clear 2-0, then it'll be interesting to see how they respond to that, because they have got their tails up, and as you say, they're getting noisy again and they're coming back into vogue. And if we were to burst their balloon on Sunday convincingly, it would be really interesting to see how they would react to that.
Aye, very much so, because
that's the plan.
You can even see there's wee bits here as well about the 3-3 draw. My mother.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a bit of toys at the pram. Oh, that shouldn't have happened.
Oh, no,
and all
no,
this
no,
and all no. that, and the kind of, as you said, vulnerabilities there, losing 3 goals, and it was just a kind of case of the kind of went in the back foot fairly
mm-hmm,
quickly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think if we turn them over, as you say, convincingly, it'd be great to get another high scoring result against them and firing in all cylinders.
I think they're a wee bit better organised than that. I mean, the mess last season, you know what I mean? It's
one of the biggest things is going to be us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think the other thing for the Rangers' perspective is, I would say that his team that he starts in, something like maybe even as many as 7 of them have never played in a Celtic Rangers game
aye.
Before and do not know about I know that their fans are near there now. There's only 100 of them, but see that mad atmosphere that you get at these games. Then I think what Celtic's advantage, hopefully, is only been Sunday, is that the players are used to it. They know what to expect. In fact, they thrive on it. Whereas the other lot, they're going to come in there. They've never played at Celtic Park. They've never had an atmosphere like it. They've never felt that intensity for a local derby.
And a massive pressure that will be on them as well, because of the publicity they're getting, as you say, they're kind of getting great reviews that they're world beaters and all the rest, and top players, and they're going to walk into this and just go, maybe get caught in the headlights. Mm-hmm. Some people thrive on it as well.
That's right, it's 50-50, some guys live for it.
But and again, Steven Gerrard is first kind of major test that is against us, because they've already set their bar to be always is to be us.
Aye, it's a be on end on.
It is for them, you know. As I say, they'll not think about Aberdeen in second. They never do. So it's always about hitting us. So
tell me your prediction then.
Prediction. I'll go 3-1 Celtic.
3-1.
Aye, I think it will go one each. We'll get away a stupid goal.
As is our one.
As is our usual. It'll be down to how we turn out. It's always is.
I say that as well. I've said it for the last couple of years when we've played them. We've got better players than them. If you turn up and play the zone, it'll be one result.
Aye.
And that's the hope for Sunday anyway.
Aye.
So it's a pleasure talking to you, Joe. And you know, fingers crossed for Thursday night and Sunday.
Thursday's the most important game, to be honest. You know, it's European football is. Mm-hmm. You always want to beat them, and everybody else in Scotland. But
two wins would set us up for the season. Aye. Maybe in kickstart the season. I think that's
changes,
what we're
changes everything now, doesn't it?
All right then. So good luck with the view for the new season.
Will do.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
I hope you enjoyed that podcast with St Anthony and young average Joe Miller. The Wimble podcast along soon. Definitely will be doing the Celtic Underground Top 10, and we will no doubt be talking about the clusterfuck of the 2018-19 summer transfer window. As I am recording this, it is 5 minutes to midnight on the day of the transfer window closing. We have just announced, as I said earlier, the signing of Bengovic. So I really don't see us signing anyone else. Although, I remember the transfer window in 2003 when I think Radio Scotland was still doing transfer window programmes, and it finished at midnight with us having signed nobody and got up the next day and we'd signed Michael Gray, who went on to have a barnstorming career of a full 7 appearances. Anyway, enough of me. That was him, St Anthony, with him, average Joe Miller. Good night, and God bless. Good night.
You can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.